really excited to talk. He's a regular on our sister station, the Fan 590 in Toronto, but glad he could make some time for us today. Jonah Carey from Grantland and ESPN. He's the author of Up, Up, and Away, the definitive book on the history of the Montreal Expos, which now you're currently on another little book tour. Is the paperback out now for Up, Up, and Away? Is that right?
Yeah, the paperback came out March 3rd, and it basically is a lot of the same content as the first book. The difference is it also includes an afterword that talks about everything that's happened from last spring to this spring, and you cited that 96,000 people showed up for last year's exhibition games, are expecting, as you said, 80,000 plus for this year's games, and you know, kind of gets into the context of how that even came to be. When I was first approached with the idea for the book, it wasn't my idea, even though it's a dream project. I was reluctant even to do it because I just said, well, who cares? I mean, you know, I cared, but
yeah.
Normal people or whatever thought that this is kind of come and gone, and sure enough, it's not the case. You know, there really is a lot of support in Montreal, and the idea that the commissioner of baseball is asked this question by a reputable journalist and gives a real answer is crazy to me and kind of awesome. So that's pretty exciting.
So as you sit here today, having authored this book, having watched all of this, getting set to, you know, to go and sign books on this topic in Montreal, do you believe that we will see a return of Major League Baseball to Montreal?
I think eventually there's a pretty good chance that it's going to happen. I can't quite say for sure that it's going to happen, so we do have to have that caveat, but we're almost going to get to the point where we start talking about, you know, possible time frames as opposed to is there ever a possibility. I think it is possible, so it becomes maybe a when. I don't envision it being something in the next 3 or 5 years or whatever, 10 or more, sure. You know, there's three factors really that have to come into play. One is you need the commissioner's office to sign off. That's a good sign. You know, it seems like they are committed to at least considering it. Number two is you need to have a new stadium. That's obviously a key. You can live with Olympic Stadium for a couple of years as a bridge, but ultimately you need to have a new ballpark. And number three, which is related to number two, really, is you need somebody with $1 billion, essentially, whether it's a person or a company or a consortium. You need somebody to step forward and be able to build the stadium and create that kind of consensus and ultimately be the parties that get a team back. And I can tell you that, you know, people are like, well, what was the downfall of the Expos in the first place? Yeah, you know, 1994 hurt when they had the best record and the World Series was canceled. And there were all kinds of other things that hurt. But ultimately it came down to once Charles Brofman, the original owner of the team, sold the club, they were never the same. They just never had owners who were both committed and had the financial means to get it done. That is the biggest factor, really, of all of them, if you want to see a team back in Montreal.
Well, and that, I guess you answered my next question, Jonah, which is, okay, stadium is one thing, and it's a huge thing. A stable ownership is another. But is there anything other, you know, that kind of lines up against the Expos? And by that, you know, we had used to have AAA baseball out here in Western Canada, but there's no more AAA baseball. They didn't want to travel north of the border. Are there any other obstacles beyond, you know, the two positive, the two most important, stable ownership and a building, that would, you know, kind of work against the Expos?
Well, just the institutional factors of MLB, because they need to either happen through relocation or expansion. Relocation, you know, people talk about, oh, maybe it'll be Tampa Bay or Oakland or something, and people have to understand that there's only been one team that's moved in the last 40 years. It was the Expos, and that was Chernobyl. I mean, that was just so bad at that point, not necessarily through the fault of the city, but just various factors, that it was just untenable. Whereas, oh, yeah, the Rays aren't drawing that many fans. Well, whatever. They have good TV ratings. They're going to get a new TV deal. They're profitable, and they win games. They've made the playoffs for the last 7 years. So I think that relocation is not likely to be imminent. And then expansion, Manfred, repeatedly, when he talks about expansion, now throws in all kinds of caveats, says, oh, yeah, you know, if there was to be a situation where there is expansion, it would be a city that would be considered. But then that means you probably need another city because you want to get to 32 teams that have an even number. How do you do that? What's the other city? He's mentioned Monterrey, Mexico. Well, that's pretty way out there. I don't know if that could happen. Or Portland or Charlotte. I mean, there are all these candidates, but we don't know. So to me, it's not so much, the Canadian dollar, this, that, or this. All that stuff can be worked out as temporary. It's more the bigger issues. It's what is the mechanism by which they get a team, and relocation and expansion both have their share of obstacles, at least at this point in time.
Jonah Carey from Grantland, our guest, as we're talking about the Montreal Expos' possible return at some point. Pat?
I'm curious, Jonah, and this is not me trolling. It's an actual question. Because we go back to when the Expos left, and it was a death march for, what, 6 or 7 years when we knew they were going to leave at some point, but there wasn't support. They were playing to 600 people at the Big O and all of that. What's to prevent that happening down the road? What's to prevent that type of straight-up apathy from happening again?
That's not on the fans. I feel vehemently, very strongly about that. Think of it this way. You have a favorite restaurant. You go to your favorite restaurant. It's great. So steak's great, salad's great, dessert's great, everything's great, service's great. Then you go and there's a cockroach in your soup. Then the next time you go, there's two cockroaches in your soup. And the next 50 times you go, there's a cockroach or a rat or there's a moose on your table or there's some sort of horrible problem. You're going to stop going to that restaurant if you're any kind of sane person. That is the scenario that the Expos fans were facing at that time, where the stadium was bad. Everybody was talking about how terrible it was and what a joke the franchise was. The team started losing. Ownership showed no faith whatsoever in keeping the team together. And they're just kicking the fans in the shins over and over again. That is not apathy on the part of the fans. That is people not being mentally ill enough to keep going back for more punishment. Getting a committed ownership, and there will be fans at the stadium every single night. I'm very confident in that. There hasn't been committed ownership on the Montreal Expos since 1991. That is a long time, my friend.
So tell me, kind of break it down. Tell me what happened, and if you can go piece by piece as to how it got to that point, and how, you know, from the outside, some would say potential apathy. I really like your impassioned defense. So tell me how it got there, and tell me how those final 6 or 7 years became the sham they were.
So the first step was Charles Bronson on the team. Charles Bronson was the heir to the Seagram's fortune, still around and very much with us and in great spirits and so forth. And he owned the team for 20 years, and it was his passion. And he had all the money in the world. I mean, in the 70s, the Expos had more money than the Yankees did, really, because you didn't have that kind of institutional money and market-driven money. So it was who had the richest owner. And Bronson could have easily outspent Steinbrenner back in the day, and the Expos nearly signed Reggie Jackson as a result. So when you have that kind of wealth, that's great. That combined with his passion for the game is perfect. His interest starts to wane eventually through rising salaries and what have you, various reasons, and they sell the team. He was bought by a consortium of local owners in 1991. The consortium of local owners are made up of gigantic Canadian businesses, Canadian Pacific and Bell, and all kinds of big companies who have more than enough means to support the team. However, because the economy is not going so well at that point, both in Quebec and to some extent in Canada, and there are various institutional factors working against it and what have you, it becomes a situation where each of those parties more or less says, here's a check for $5 million, leave us back alone, never bother us again. So they don't feel any obligation to do anything. They're not true stewards of the team. They're kind of there. Mm-hmm. And Slobush, who is put in charge of everything, but he's got this group behind him that is worthless. It's all contributed money, but that's that. Okay, so you go along, and right as this is happening, Expos start to get good. They hire Felipe Alou, Dan Duquette as the general manager. They get Larry Walker and Marquis Grissom and Moises Alou and Pedro Martinez, and they become really, really good. Seems like they might be able to do some things. And before season happens, they're 74-40. They're the best record in all of baseball. They have a chance to go to the playoffs, even win a World Series for the first time in franchise history. Because the owners are so damn greedy, they decide they can't share amongst themselves. They're going to take it out of the players' pockets. Players say, no, you're not. There's a strike. That cancels that season. 95, you go to the spring. They trade Marquis Grissom for a bucket of beans. They trade Cahill for a bucket of beans. They get rid of Larry Walker for nothing. They trade John Wetland for a bucket of beans. Now they've totally disillusioned the fans, who are not going to come back because they canceled the World Series. People feel that there's a grand conspiracy against the Expos as a result of all this nonsense. They've got rid of their four best players. But you know what? Felipe Alou is so good and they have so much talent that in 1996, they almost make the playoffs again. And then fans do show up to the ballpark despite being kicked in the shins over and over again. And guess what? Then they get rid of Moises Alou and Pedro Martinez. More kicking in the shin. Now you're down to 97 and 98, and that is the last 6 or 7 years. Now, yeah, it's clear you have bad ownership. It's clear all the players are gone. Jeffrey Loria comes in. That helps nobody, obviously. Then Major League Baseball comes in. Now you're in full funeral mode. And finally, by the time you get to the last game of the season, 2004, people just want to put the patient to sleep already. Cancer has ravaged the body, and it's time to go.
That's outstanding. Okay, so tell me where is the core of baseball fans coming from in Montreal? What I mean by that is, you know, what are age groups, demographics? Are we talking about the French, the English side of the pot? I'm curious, that core, because it's very clear it exists, and it's very clear there is a passion for the sport in the city. So where is it coming from? Where would a new team be tapping into?
Well, it's a good-sized city, first of all. I mean, you know, depending on your metrics, you could argue for 2.5-3 million, and then the metro area is supposed to be 4 million. It's a big city, and I grew up there, and, you know, I have knowledge of it, and you can also just Google it. I mean, it's a large place. But it's always going to be that in its favor. It's a bigger, much bigger city than Milwaukee or Cleveland or something. That's number one. As far as the demo goes, it's mixed. You know, I don't know what the perception is in the rest of Canada, but I can tell you, having been to all those games, it's Anglo and Franco. I mean, it's absolutely the case that it's a shared experience, and you know, if there have ever been tensions in the province, and goodness knows there have been, it's not shared once you get to the ballpark, nor is it shared at Montreal Canadiens games, by the way. Habs fans are Habs fans, and your background makes no difference whatsoever. And there are people with money who are Francophones, and there are people with money who are Anglophones. So I do think it's spread out. And I think that, you know, to your point about age, there, you know, if a team came back 10 years from now or whatever, gee, I mean, at that point I'd be 50, I guess. So I would qualify as an old-timey fan. But there would be a new generation, too, that would come up and be interested in it. And I think that was reflected in the exhibition game that we saw last year, where these were games between the Blue Jays, no love lost between Montrealers and any Toronto sports team, by the way, and the Mets, no particular interest in the Mets either. And yet people cheered like crazy for everything. And Melky Cabrera hit a dramatic two-run home run to win one of the two games. And people went bonkers. And there were a few Jays fans there, but it was mostly Montrealers who were doing, who were going bonkers. Why? Because they missed baseball. And ultimately, even though there were fans of obviously Reigns and Dawson and Walker and Carter and so forth, they still love, still do love baseball. And I do think that is reflected across the board, whether you're young or old, young or old, Franco or Anglo, that remains in the city. And we saw it in spades last spring, and we'll see it again this weekend.
Jonah Carey from Grantland and the author of Up, Up and Away, about the Montreal Expos, our guest here. Just a couple more for you, Jonah. And this one's a baseball question. As you see it, the health of Major League Baseball, because if the Expos or Montreal's to come back in, it might possibly be through expansion. But is that realistic? Is Major League Baseball, is baseball growing? You know, there's often talk about, you know, recruitment issues. Are there players playing anymore? Is there interest? The game's speeding up. Is it too slow? Does it fit our 140-character world? As you sit here today, how do you see the future of Major League Baseball?
I'm not smart enough to deal in all that nuance. Here's what I know. Major League Baseball is a $9 billion industry, and it's making money so fast they don't know what to do with it, to the point where 10 years ago, players were making 58% of the revenue in the sport, and owners were making 42%, and now it's reversed. Owners are making 58%, and players are making 42%. Why? Not because they're being mean to players or whatever, but because owners are making so much money off of TV that they literally cannot spend it fast enough to get back to 50-50. It is an avalanche of money. Name your poorest team and they are swimming in it. And if they tell you otherwise, they are big fat liars. Now, it might be the case that there are some kids that are turned off by the sport. Yes, there are some complaints about the pace of the game. Sure, maybe it's not, I don't know, Twitter friendly. I guess all those things are theoretically possible. Those are all intangibles. The tangibles are in place and the sport is extremely healthy from a financial point of view. I'm not diminishing the idea that there could be other elements that aren't perfect. I mean, it's possible that the game doesn't appeal to everybody, and you certainly want to recruit more, and you want to be able to develop a way to bring in a broader demo into the sport. It's no secret that African-American participation has gone down as far as major leaguers go, the percentage of major leaguers. I get that. But listen, I mean, you know, at the end of it, it's still kind of an accounting-based world, and if all that money's coming in somewhere, there's got to be a reason for it. It's because people are going to games, and they're really, really watching you.
Final question. It's a more of a personal question. You go back to Montreal for these two games. You're going to be making public appearances, talking about the book. As a guy who grew up in Montreal, and he's clearly extremely passionate about the team, what is the next couple of days like for you? Is it special? Is it overwhelming? Is it, you know, is it heartwarming? Does it give, you know, credit to the work that you put into it? How do you approach the next couple of days, Jonah?
Oh, all of those things and more. There's no question about it. Last year was just bananas. You know, the book came out March 25th, and we had these games March 28th. And just even if it was only me going into the stadium as a fan, and there was no professional attachment, the fact that this place that I went to, which you may know bones about it, there were 600 fans for a while, and I remember those days.
Yep.
And you had all those people in there, and we were all chanting "Let's Go Expos" and going nuts. And I was with my idiot high school friends. We were sitting in the stands together and having Babat Sankong together. Phenomenal. And that's just one element of it. Never mind that there was a gala for the 94 Expos and they asked me to give a speech for the 94 Expos. That's crazy. And then this year, that's beyond. Like, that out of my experience. And then this year, at least with 94, you know, I was almost an adult. I was 19 or 20. This year, they're asking me to give a speech in honor of Tim Raines. Tim Raines is my favorite player of all time. I was 6 when he was a rookie. I am sitting at the head table at another gala this year, put on by Cromartie. Warren Cromartie will be there at the head table. Was Vladimir Guerrero, Andres Galarraga, Tim Raines, Andre Dawson, and the mayor of Montreal. Somehow they're putting me there, and they believe that I have enough gravitas to give a speech in honor of this guy, who I believe more than anything deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It is completely bananas, and whatever mild acclaim I might have achieved in my own career, this is completely overwhelming, and I will never, ever, ever take it for granted. I'm completely honored to even be a small part of this thing, it is tremendous and very exciting.
Dude, the book is phenomenal, but it just pales in the comparison to your passion on this topic. Jonah, thank you so much for making time. I know you've been doing a lot of this lately up here and with the book and everything, but we really appreciate you letting the listeners in Calgary know what's going on. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.